Remember, in the course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined as always by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. As always, I like to start this podcast out by saying something that I have experienced recently, and I have experienced the love and joy of Mellow Yellow Zero, so wanted to share that with you all.
There you go. Very good. At least you say when you're something you've recently experienced, except at least it's not something traumatic that will scar us all.
True. That's true. Right. Could be it's worse.
Mellow Yellow Zero is pretty simple. I like that. So
true.
All right. On this week's episode, we are going to be reviewing the movie Amelia's Children, which is available now on video on demand. But before we get there, we'd like to send a special thank you to all of our listeners and followers and to our wives who will be joining us momentarily for a wives rebuttal. That's right. It's been a while, but they are on today and we are going to be discussing the movie Here for Blood, which is available now on Screenbox. So that will be around in just a minute. But before we get there, Ike, what did you watch this week?
Yeah, absolutely. So, so a little peek behind the curtain, guys. We actually recorded this once. Well, quote unquote recorded this once. We forgot to hit record. But good thing we did, because I just remembered, because I forgot something the first time around when we first recorded this. So Let me start off by saying I watched and finished the show The Good Place. It's not a horror show. It's a comedy, but it was really good. And then I started a show on Paramount Plus. You'll all know that I hate the app Paramount Plus because it is the shittiest, most jank app that I've ever used in my entire life. But the show is called Evil. It's pretty good. Sort of a paranormal crime drama type deal. It's very good. I believe there's 3 seasons and a 4th one and the final one coming in May. So check it out if you want to. But also, I rewatched Saw X, and we actually rewatched Saw X for our my wife made me a Valentine's Day gift where it was movie horror dates, and Saw X is one of them. So what we made for dinner that was inspired by Saw, we made ham and cheese pinwheels, because of course the spirals they're called ham and cheese spirals, but they're basically pinwheels made out of like dough. So those were good. And then the other thing was peanut butter haystacks, but they're called find the needle in the peanut butter haystack because of Saw 2 and the Pit of Needles. So, it was really good. The haystacks were made from chow mein noodles, which I had never seen before. So that was pretty unique. Overall, it was very good. And I'm not going to say what we're eating with it, but I'm going to give a little spoiler for the next one. It's not going to be next weekend, but the weekend after that we do it. It's for Terrifier 2. So she came up with some really cool shit for that, like, matches it. So, but I'm not going to spoil it. I'm going to wait until we actually do it to talk about it.
Well, I will say that I can't see how you can do that without mashed potatoes. But we'll see what happens there.
So. We'll see what happens.
All right, so I didn't really watch anything this week outside of Buffy, continuing to watch through of Buffy. I have mustered my way through the difficult 4th season. It's a little blah, but the fifth season is picking up, and is so far, I'm just a few episodes in, but so far is a little better. So I am plowing ahead with my Buffy watch. So if that concludes what we watched, I guess it's time for our weekly segment.
Wives Rebuttal.
All right, and this week we have a Wives Rebuttal. I have a double of Johnny Walker Scotch here. And this is my empowerment to get through this segment. It has been a while. I think we have mustered up the courage, so let's introduce the participants. We will start with the less chaotic of the two. That is Ike's wife, Kayla. Hello, Kayla.
Hi.
And now, here we go. hailing from parts unknown. Miss Monica. Monica, are you there?
Bring it, bitch.
All right.
Jeez Louise. All right. So this edition or whatever of Wise Rebuttal, we are going to discuss the movie Here for Blood, which is available now on Screambox. Ike and I reviewed this movie a few episodes ago. We really, really liked it. We thought it was fun. We liked the gore. We liked the humor. We liked the professional wrestling aspect of it. We just thought we liked Dee Snider as a severed head. We thought it was a lot of fun. But apparently, Monica and Kayla disagree with that, Ike. So, ladies, who wants to go first and tell us why?
I think Kayla should go first because her thoughts are usually more cohesive and make sense.
Okay, I can start.
No.
So,
no one's going to argue that. Go ahead. No, go.
So, I actually just finished watching this because I wanted to rewatch it to kind of have a refresher. And I feel the same way still. Now, I don't think that this movie is like the worst movie in the world or extremely horrible or anything. I just don't think this is my kind of horror movie. Basically, like what you described that you liked about the movie is what I didn't really care for in the sense of like the gore aspect of it. I feel like it was very overdone. Like it was unrealistic. And I know it's just a movie. It's not going to be the most realistic thing, but like specifically like the one part that stuck in my head with like, when one point he cut off the fingers of that one dude, and then another point they cut off a head. And I mean, it's just like almost like a volcano of blood, which I was just like, I don't know how I feel about that. And then I will say some of the practical effects in the movie I really liked. I really liked like when they were fighting and he put his head down on the stove and like the melted skin. Oh, yeah. I thought that was done really, really well, though. But a part that I didn't think was done well was, like, for example, the head. I thought that whole aspect of the head was kind of weird, but then, like, I just feel like the head looked like something you could buy at, like, Spirit Halloween. Like, I don't know, it just didn't vibe with me.
To be fair, if there was a severed, decomposed head of Dee Snider, that's probably not a stretch of what it would look like.
True.
No, there'd still be hair on it.
I don't know. Okay. All right, are you ready?
I think so.
Monica, tell us what you think.
I feel like everyone's like hanging on with their fingernails, like, what the fuck is she gonna say?
Pretty much. Like, go ahead, though.
Everyone's like, so Kayla, what did you think? And then they're like, take a deep breath.
Did you notice how cohesive and calm and respectful her approach was? And now it's like, you know, it's like in a hockey game, fucking throw the gloves off and let's hit the glass. Let's go.
Somebody gotta be that. We are like the Jason and Travis Kelce of podcasting.
Okay, whoa. Don't force your Kelce stuff into this. This has nothing to do with this movie.
They are my favorite two football players in the world.
Perhaps, but this movie does not contain nothing to do with it. Talk about the movie. Tell us about the movie. This is why this segment always goes 45 minutes. Please talk about the movie.
Okay, so normally home invasion movies are literally one of, if not my favorite, it is one of my favorite types of horror or thriller movies. Legitimately, I know we talked before about, for me, horror movies have to have something that Monica would be scared of in real life for it to even really pull with me. So home invasion movies, anyone who has ever lived by themselves.
You're breaking up there a little bit.
Oh, anyone who has ever lived by themselves, somewhere in the back of their head, this is a fear. I lived with two little boys that were my sons. That kind of sounds a little creepy.
Yeah. Thanks for clarifying that one.
They were my children. I was, for a time, a single mother. And I cannot even tell you how often how scared I was. And in fact, I had a situation where a former employee came to my home and threatened to kill me. So I kind of actually lived through this. So it is a genre I love. I'm not going to say that I hated this movie. I'm with Kayla. This was definitely no Skinamarink. But.
Hold on. Can we just pause for just 1 second here, okay? Let me, something you just said. You said you were a single mother and you were scared. Wait a minute. Hold on. Am I giving you some sense of security? Do you think I'm going to protect you?
Probably not, but I don't know.
I mean, I know I have a baseball bat by the side of my bed, but if something goes, if shit goes sour, we're all running. And no offense, but I'm probably grabbing the shih tzu pretty quick on the way out.
Great.
All right. Go ahead.
So anyway.
Especially if they have masks on, like the Strangers or something. I'm done.
I know. Well, like, go ahead, though. The Strangers, I'm glad you brought that up, because The Strangers, one of my all-time favorite horror movies. That movie, still, to this day, if I turn it on, I am like, it can still make me feel that same way I felt the first time I saw it. So, home invasion movies, my jam. And I'm not going to say this was horrible. You know, I typically don't like horror comedy mashup, so because it's hokey. But some of the stuff that happened, you know, I chuckled at. The professional wrestling aspect, I totally dug. I mean, I don't know who knows, but Mr. Dave at one time was a part-time professional wrestler. So obviously, that for me. But and it had some great lines, like that one line when the little girl comes out from underneath the bed and she's like, is that guy dead? So he kicks him, the guy groans, and he says, see honey, he's not dead. Cracked me up, you know. And you know, and like when they came out and the guy, and he's like, he basically was like, you don't mess with the dude's car, you know, when he saw his tires were slashed, because that was so Dean Winchester, which, by the way, that guy was in a episode of Supernatural. But, you know, I'm with Kayla. The gore was way over the top. I mean, we're not talking Terrifier over the top, but over the top.
And oh, hey, oh, no. Number one. You both have already committed cardinal sins in this podcast. Kayla, you can't use the line, it's just a movie. Because, no, it's not just a movie. We don't agree in that motto. Number two, Monica, you're not allowed, you cannot speak ill of the Terrifier franchise. That is a quick way to get your ass kicked off this call. Thou shalt not fuck with Art the Clown. So,
true.
Okay. I'm sorry, Art.
So, roll it back. Okay, you may have trouble with the gore. Don't use Terrifier as a bad example.
So anyway, the blood was literally water. It had no viscosity. I don't expect horror movie blood to be literal blood. But if in 1950 whatever, when Psycho came out, they knew that it needed to be corn syrup. It needed a little viscosity. They should know in 2024. So, like that. I agree with Kayla. The stove is, that was pretty cool. And another side note, Isaac, I happen to know that when you were little, you actually reached up and burned your hand on a stove and it looked like that face. So I love B. Snyder. Okay. The head was ridiculously stupid because, like Kayla said, you could have found something better looking at, you know, at a party mart, but Dee Snider as the voice, that was like my 1980s self being like, rad. You know, but it needed to kind of pick more of a genre. It was too horror to be horror comedy, and it was, it just was. So they were pushing that comedy. Like, who talks? I mean, a 10-year-old, number one, is not going to be that composed. I'm 50, and I may have wet myself. But he's talking to her like she's a grown-up, you know? And the girlfriend gets in. She's like, here, we don't think you're going to use the knife, but if you have to stab someone, you do it like this. And mom and dad being in on it, I totally knew. You know, but, you know.
Well, so here's a little comeback. First of all, is anybody else hearing Monica break up besides me a little bit?
Not really. I mean, every now and then there's like a little pause, but I think it's just because she's breathing.
That's okay. It was breaking up a little for me. I'm just gonna say it's the gods protecting my ears. So a couple things. Number one, I from what I can recall from our review, I completely agreed about the stove thing. We thought that was one of the coolest parts of the thing. Visually one of the best parts of the movie.
Right. Yeah.
We thought the head was funny and we liked it or whatever else. And I just totally lost my other thought. There was something else Monica said that I was going to respond to. And it's like usual with what she converses with, it's just, it went in one ear and went right out the other. So Ike, what do you got to say?
So a couple things. There are two things that I just have to say because that you said it, so I have to now say something about it. The blood in Psycho was not corn syrup, it was chocolate syrup, fun fact.
Oh, right, right.
So I just had to, I had to correct it. I had to be the history, you know, corrector here. And then the other thing is that somebody needs to listen back to the episode where we had the wives rebuttal about Hush, because I almost distinctly remember Monica saying something to the extent of, are home invasion movies really horror movies, or something like that? Or maybe it wasn't slasher movies. So I don't know. Somebody needs to listen back and say whether or not I'm right or not. Anywho.
You are. I do not believe that home invasion movies are slasher movies. I just don't.
Okay. That was the argument. Yeah. Okay. That was the argument. So, okay. I was just making sure I was hearing myself correctly. So, all right. We don't need to listen back to the tapes, guys. Anyways. but no. So, I mean, for the most part, I could definitely see where both of you guys are coming from. And I mean, I would say that's pretty uncommon so far for our wives or bottles, is that for the most part, like, I could kind of see where you're coming from. I think that the perspective of this is kind of what matters. I think for me and Dave, like, the hokiness, like, makes the movie better. Like, if a movie's like super campy and like it plays up on, you know, it basically sort of like something stupid, because this movie does. I mean, when they cut the guy's head off and it's just spraying blood everywhere and the woman's literally like screaming the entire time, I thought it was humorous. I thought it was over the top and just completely hokey, but it was in a hokey in a fun way. So I think that's really what this mostly boils down to, is that, you know, I guess me and Dave maybe have a little bit more of that, you know. I don't want to say that you guys don't like these kinds of movies, but I think I can safely say that you don't like the cheese factor of these movies necessarily. And I feel like Dave and I like the cheese.
Yeah. We're very transparent. We like our horror with a little bit of extra cheese. I very much get into cheesy horror and everything. So yeah, this movie really played into all the things I like and I think are fun in movie with, you know, horror movies. So, but I absolutely knew watching it, I thought Monica will hate this movie. There was just nothing about this movie that she will like.
Right. And, I was going to literally say, like, Kayla watched, this for perspective, when we watched this movie for the first time to review it, Kayla watched it with me then, but basically she remembered nothing about it because, like, she was like, yeah, I don't really remember anything about it. I just remember like it was there. So that's kind of the perspective you have to think too, that she was like, yeah, that wasn't super memorable. So when she rewatched it, I think she had to remind herself about it. But yeah, it was, other than that, like you said, cheese factor, I love it. It's just, but yeah, not everybody likes the cheese. Like you said, not everybody likes the horror with extra cheese.
Yeah. Yeah. And to speak back on one thing Monica said with about knowing the parents were in it, that was one of the things Ike and I said in the review. The movie was a bit predictable. That was one of the downsides we did say of it. We were aware of that, but, you know, that it was predictable, but we also always say, predictable is not always a bad thing, but Yeah, it didn't. It didn't really. Didn't really leave you hanging, wondering what was happening. So.
No. And it was kind of hard for me because early on, Grace, the little girl's voice, I kept thinking that is so familiar. So I looked it up on IMDb, and all of like your past 5 years of Peanuts stuff, particularly for Apple TV, she's the voice of Frida. So I'm sitting here and I've got Frida in my head and I'm looking at this little girl, you know, and all this. And I'm like, man, it's hard for me when I do recognize people. It's kind of like, you know, why Jamie Lee Curtis had such a hard time, you know, early on after she went through, her initial Scream Queen, being able to be in other roles. You know, it's why George Takei, his career has basically just been Star Trek. There's just, it's hard, you know, sometimes to, if something you're, you know, it's just sometimes hard to have that happen. But
so what is your guys' take? Because one thing we did point out, I don't remember I cannot think of the lead character's name in the movie now. But anyway, the main dude, what's his name?
Tom O'Bannon.
Yeah, Tom O'Bannon. Ike and I really thought, okay, so despite all the other things you said, we really thought Tom O'Bannon was a pretty cool character, and it had a lot of potential, and the way he was portrayed, and everything else. Now, I understand maybe there are aspects of the movie you don't like. What do you think just of Tom O'Bannon and the job that Sean Roberts did with that? Somebody? One of you?
I thought it was good. I thought he did a great job. I thought the little girl did a great job. I think she did good with what she was given in terms of script. Those two together were not at all unenjoyable. You know, I liked the interaction. I liked, you know, how in the beginning you see him like all professional wrestler and all this, and then like he gets with her because that's how people are. You know, we tend to pigeonhole characters in movies, but in reality, people are more complex. I mean, some aren't. Some people are, you know, are not, you know, they're as complex as like a one-celled organism. But, you know, so I thought he did a really good job, you know, with the character. He probably even did better than what the writing gave him.
Okay, Kayla, what do you think?
I agree. Honestly, like, rewatching it, I kind of get, like, Ash versus the Evil Dead vibes, like, the original, like, OG one. Like, just, like, the way his character is and the way Ash is, like, I feel like the characters are kind of similar. Yeah. But, yeah, I think the little girl did well, too, and I feel like they had really good on-screen chemistry. I think they worked really well together.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. There you go. All right, well, at least we got that going for us. All right, so
go ahead. Don't even think the script was bad. There was a lot of potential with it. There was a lot of potential. I just think it needed to decide if it was going to be horror or dark comedy. It tried to be horror when in fact I think it should have just switched over and went with dark comedy, been more of a warm bodies, instead of trying to be a home invasion movie.
Okay, well, I don't know. I think there's I think there's a fine line separating all that you're trying to take too hard a stand on.
I know, and some movies can tread that line perfectly, but I just don't think this one did.
Well, I disagree. That's the rebuttal, I guess.
True. Yeah.
We really enjoyed the movie. We thought it was fun. I believe in our review, we did say it's not perfect, right? It does have flaws and this and that, but we found it really enjoyable. And overall, that's how we gauge a movie. The gore part absolutely did not bother me. It made me chuckle. I thought it added to the humor. It was funny to me. I absolutely love the Tom O'Bannon character. I thought he was great, and I thought he did a great job. We like I said, we did feel it was a little predictable. We did point that out in our review. But that, you know, again, it is what it is. I don't think this is the kind of movie that's going to give you a sixth sense, you know, oh fuck kind of moment. And, but so Ike, before we start to wrap this down in a reasonable amount of time, unbelievably, do you have anything else that you want to say and rebut to them?
Really the only other thing, like you said, I mean, we basically kind of came to a somewhat similar ish conclusion that, you know, is not a perfect movie. You know, we definitely will never try and make the claim that, you know, Here for Blood is an Oscar winning movie. But, you know, it's more about the enjoyability factor. You know, like you said, it was predictable, you know, did have some cheese, but, you know, for me, like one of the bigger things was that I got to see Sean Roberts in this. I talked about in the original show, but, you know, Sean Roberts plays Albert Wesker in the live action Resident Evil franchise with Mila Jovovich. So getting to see him again. Yeah, getting to see him again on screen was really cool. So that was a big reason why I think I enjoyed it as much as I did. So, yeah, I think that, you know, this is not going to be for everybody. No movie is for everyone. And this movie is no exception to that rule.
All right. Way to be political there, Ike.
There you go.
Yeah, way to tread the water there. campaigning for office. That's so, right.
I'm actually now looking, and that kid that played the pizza boy, he was also in the same episode of Supernatural as the other guy. So they must be friends.
The other guy?
Sean Roberts.
I understand that, but what did he play in that episode of Supernatural?
He was the wounded teenager that got in the shootout.
Ah. So wait a minute. So hold on. Because these two guys were both in this movie and were both in an episode of Supernatural, you just automatically assume that somehow they're friends, that there's some form of pull happening, and they just both couldn't have got these parts based on their talents alone.
Okay, listen. I went back and looked. The director, the writers, and the producers, and the casting, none of them worked for Supernatural. The two of them were in the exact same episode of Supernatural. So typically, if I'm looking at point A and point B, if there's an obvious straight line, typically if one's a lead and one is a very small character, yeah, the lead probably recommended that person for that role. And Sean Roberts is friends with the writer and the director of this movie. So if two things look like they walk like a duck, they're probably both ducks.
Okay. Or something just acting like a duck, but I don't know if there's enough information to make that leap, but okay. Way to go, pizza guy. Apparently you have no talent. You're just riding and following Sean Roberts around.
You talentless shill.
That's right.
That.
All you're good for is being the fucking wounded guy in the one episode and the pizza guy in the other, and it's all because of Sean Roberts. Otherwise, you'd really be a pizza guy.
Okay, I didn't say that the Supernatural casting was because they were friends. I'm saying the future casting is probably because they are friends. Plus, it says online that they're friends. So
the Supernatural casting was probably just because the guy lived in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And so and everything else. That's probably what that's for. And I like how when Ike and I research a movie, we look at the writer, the director, who was acting in it, what the box office was, and you're like, I'm gonna look up who's friends. I mean, I'm like, I'm going to research this thing. Ooh, people.com. What the fuck?
Hey, first of all, you can shut the fuck up on people.com. I get a lot of good celebrity news there. Sometimes even like actual news. And number two.
Okay. And you say you don't like horror comedy, and this is what you want to say. You get good actual news from people.com. That's the most horrific comedy I've ever heard in my life.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
I am.
You
are aware that
the rebuttal is not about people.com, guys.
You are aware that the actual news is not where the Kelsey brothers are eating lunch today, right?
Okay, there is a huge crime news story where this guy legitimately had his daughter and two friends over, and he basically drugged them all. And it was people.com that was the first people to break it, other than in a local sense. And now it's a national news story. So I'm sorry, maybe not like, you know, the war in Israel and Palestine kind of news, or what's happening with inflation kind of news.
You're right. It's more like Weekly World News and the Bat Boy is where this has fallen in. But okay.
It's like the National Enquirer.
Do we want to talk about some of the things that you guys believe? Because I'm good. We can talk.
I mean, no, I'm sure.
We have a whole podcast on things we believe. I'm more confounded on how people.com looked into breaking any kind of news story. How does that happen? Were they like trying to hide in the bush and get a picture of some celebrity and like, oh, look what we found? How does this even happen?
Seriously? And a lot of the time,
I thought People was an entertainment outlet.
It's not just entertainment. They do huge exposés. They do you like the Go-Go Beach when all that started breaking.
The Go-Go Beach?
Kilgo, you dumbass.
I thought you said Go-Go. I'm like, I'm picturing a 50s surf movie here. What are you talking about? I don't know, but I think you're really overselling people.com here.
When they were looking for a missing woman, and they start looking where she was last found, and as they're looking for her, they start finding bodies and realize there was a goddamn serial killer that nobody knew about, and he was burying the bodies like within so many yards of each other, you know, in the high weeds on this beach. I mean, legitimately, that story was barely gaining traction. It was them going and working with the parents of the missing girl. Because, of course, most of these girls were prostitutes. And since they were prostitutes, we all know that nobody gives a fuck. I mean, okay. Unless you're pretty and white and kidnapped, nobody cares.
Hey, no. We're getting love.
Right? Time out here.
Time up over there.
Let's pause.
What are you talking about? It is so bad that in California, they had to create their own Amber Alert for other races because nobody was paying attention to anyone but white kids on the Amber Alert. You get that, right?
We are not disputing that. We agree with that. But what we're saying is that that's not the point. Yeah.
Might be the case.
And look at your notes. what did you say the number one point you wrote in your notes was?
I'm not supposed to get crazy.
Oh, I thought it was something about, you know, make sure you let Kayla speak or whatever else. And she said like three words and suddenly we've gone into a tirade about people.com and the Go-Go Beach. I don't know what
that is. Kayla, what do you think of people.com?
I have never been to people.com, if I'm being honest.
Oh, no. You should, because I know you're a Taylor Swiftie. And they have tons of great information about her, like her concerts, her new upcoming album, what's going on with Trav. I mean,
hey, Monica. Good God.
Yeah.
You're aware. This is about Here for Blood, right?
She said no.
We talked about that. I thought we were moving on.
I mean, no. Were. No, there's when we move on, you're no longer on the call. That's what happens when we move on.
Well,
you are on here to discuss Here for Blood. Okay, if you have exhausted your opinions and knowledge, then we need to wrap this up and say goodnight. Because when we move on.
Let me impart a little knowledge. The Eras movie is going to be on Disney Plus March
15th. Oh, my God.
And her new album, what is it? Tortured Poet something? I can't remember now. I think that comes out in May.
Oh, that's definitely torture here. okay, so let's wrap this up. So I guess we're long past being done with Here for Blood. And although I'm feeling the urge for blood right now. Yeah, okay.
I love you.
So, I bet you do. You have a peculiar way of showing it.
I love you too, but I was actually talking to the cat.
Oh my god. That just makes it worse somehow.
Which cat are we talking about? The one that's a fucking terror that you brought into my life? We're not going to sidebar onto that shit, but...
Arthur Morgan, yes.
All right. Jesus Christ. So before we... Yeah, that's the cat that I have to walk around with a little, you know...
He calls him Barn Cat.
Yeah, I have to walk around with a flask of holy water just to make sure to keep him at bay. But... So, all right, so let's wrap this up, because again, I said these things go 45 minutes, and here we are, fast approaching, we're over 30, because somehow we've got talking about...
So we got about 12 more minutes, Kayla.
Nope.
We sure don't. Remember who's controlling this call here, and how easily I can end a sucker.
Yes,
and,
we all know.
You damn well better. All right, so let's wrap this up. So, just out of curiosity, I don't remember what we rated it, but out of curiosity, if you were to rate out of 5 screams, Here for Blood, Kayla, what would you rate it?
I'd go 2.5.
I think I'd go
okay,
2.
Okay, Monica?
2. Yeah, I think 2.5, wow. 2.
That's kind of generous for Monica. But
I told you, my problem with it weren't necessarily enjoyability.
I get it. We heard it all. We don't need to rehash. We don't need to circle back around and retread, because otherwise we'll just fucking wind up back at people.com again talking about nothing relevant. So
occasionally E! Online is pretty good too. Occasionally.
That's great.
I don't have, there is not enough scotch in this glass for this conversation. So okay. So Kayla, Monica's talked about 20 minutes. So literally, if you've got about 15 coming, if there's anything you want to talk about, we could stay on for 15 minutes so you can catch up with the person whose number one note on her list was, don't hog the conversation from Kayla. And
it
she did anyway.
Don't be crazy.
So I guess I have left to add to this, and I just have a question about it. Okay. Did we think it was Stefussi? Okay.
I'm not having a lot of it.
I think Tom O'Bannon was very Stefussi.
Absolutely.
I
mean,
I agree.
Dude was jacked and looking good. I mean,
yeah.
And you know, they put the extra small shirt on that dude to make sure those guns. So
at least they put a shirt on him. That one guy that played Loverboy, I think his name is Channing Deckard. He's a wrestler on TNA. And he thought he was Stefussi, but he was not.
He thought?
Yeah, he thought he was.
Okay, well, I suppose. But to answer the question, I don't know if the movie was Stefussi, but Tom O'Bannon is definitely Stefussi.
Yeah,
no doubt about it.
Absolutely.
No. Agreed. What about you?
So there we go.
Did you think it was Stefussi?
I agree. Tom Bannon is definitely Stefussi, but the movie, no.
Yeah.
So I think that's a 4 out of 4 on Tom Bannon and the Stefussi. But
technically Sean Roberts is the Stefussi, not Tom O'Bannon. But
true.
Remember the motto. There is no it's just a movie. It's Tom O'Bannon.
Okay, well, you know, when you hashtag it, don't tag Tom O'Bannon, you tag Sean Roberts, and maybe he'll be like, hey, look, they think I'm Stefussi.
Okay, I'm going to hashtag it. People.com sucks is what I'm going to hashtag. All right, so let's wrap this up. Once again, thank you for coming on and doing whatever this was. I don't even know at this point. At somewhere, I think there was some movie discussion, and as usual, Monica says, here, are you driving? Let me take the wheel and run us off the fucking cliff. So, but she ran us off the cliff and we're straight down and landed us on Go-Go Beach. And that's where we are. So
we're going on our next vacation is Go-Go Beach.
with what is that band and that thing you do, the whatever the Shrimp Shack Shooters or whatever they are, the never mind.
Oh my god, yeah.
The Shrimp Shack Shooters. What the fuck?
That was funny.
Have you never watched the movie, that movie, that thing you do? It, that Tom Hanks movie?
I've never seen
it's kinda, that. It's actually a really good movie. It's not a horror movie, but it is a really, it's a great movie. You need it to watch is. It. It's a good movie. Yeah. And it's got that fucking, the song, That Thing You Do, so fucking catchy. Look at it. It is 60s pop. Oh, it's just magical. And Tom Hanks is amazing in it. And it's got, who else got it? Liv Tyler's in it. And I don't even know who else.
Oh, yeah. Tom Hanks. Oh, my gosh. Tom Everett.
Anyway, it's a good movie.
Who else?
Anyway, though, who cares? There's a band in the movie, and they get in there, and it's like in the 60s, and they get hired to make, you know, a movie, like a surf movie. And they're just playing the band in the movie, and it's something in the Shrimp Shack Shooter or some weird-ass name like that. What?
It's copyright, man.
What are you doing?
Sorry.
who immediately went out and looked at the song? Monica, was that you?
That was Monica.
It was me.
So not only did she drive the car off the cliff and bury it in the beach, but she fucking just buried the podcast with a copyright strike, more than likely. Because, hey, let's pull up the copyrighted music and just let's play it right now.
Oh,
I don't think she's played enough for it to get copyright strike. But you can just cut it out.
I guess we'll find out, won't we? we'll find
just,
out if we get
just
that
so
strike.
You know. Just so you know. YouTube is a very fickle mistress, and it does not take much to piss that bitch off. So,
I actually only meant to play just like those few drum beats at the beginning, but I couldn't. I kept hitting pause, and it wouldn't pause.
Okay.
I think I had cat fur on it.
Let's. Well, it's probably the evil barn cat. So, all right. So let's wrap this up because holy. Crap, just when I thought it couldn't have gone off the rails anymore, it has just gone. It's like it got onto another track and went off the rails again. So thank you, I guess, for joining us. So let's wrap this up. You guys did not like the movie, but we all agree we love Tom O'Bannon, and he is extraordinarily stuffy. And the second takeaway is that Ike and Kayla need to watch that thing you do. Or what's it called? Thing you that whatever it is. Just look it up. It's a Tom Hanks movie.
That thing you do.
So there you go. All right. So let's go. So Kayla, thank you for joining us and have a good goodbye and have a good whatever. So
you too.
Goodbye.
I'm so flustered right now.
What is wrong with you?
Do you really want me to answer that question in a public forum right now?
Probably not, but
Monica. Thank you.
Yeah.
The fuck was, thank you for joining us. And
I feel like that's not sincere, but okay.
And doing whatever this was and eating up 40 minutes of our podcast. I have to literally cram everything else in like, I don't know, 20 minutes now. I'm just joking. So, all right. Goodbye, Monica.
Goodbye. Goodbye, guys.
Bye. Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a break. And then when we come back, I hopefully will have a refill of scotch and we're going to discuss news and something a little more calming to our blood pressure. So everybody just stick around. Not you, Monica. Not you.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. And we are back with the news. All right. Gonna have to shake off that Weiser bottle. It wasn't as bad as the glass one, I think, which was about Hush, but or even Skinamarink. Mm-hmm. Those were fun. But in any case, Here are some little tidbits of juicy news for you all. Starting us off, Night Swim is going to video on demand March 12th and Blu-ray and DVD on April 9th. We've reviewed Night Swim, so if you want to check out that official review, you can check out that episode at a later time. But if I remember correctly, we were kind of lukewarm on it. It was just all right. Wasn't anything special.
Mm-hmm. No, we were. I thought it was disappointing to kind of kick off the horror for the year. I think it's one of the first things we reviewed this year, and it was a little disappointing to me. But, you know, it's going to be out there. Everybody give it a shot and see what you think.
Yep, absolutely. And in better news, A24 will be releasing Maxine in theaters July the 5th. That is obviously very exciting. You know, we've been kind of waiting for a release date and everything else, so it's really nice to have that official July 5th release on the books for Maxine. So I'm super stoked for it.
I am too. I think I'm going to like this much more than Pearl.
Yeah.
Again, I think last week we kind of spoke of it, that it's filming and everything. And I really liked X a lot. Pearl was so. It didn't catch me as much, but I think I'm going to like Maxine a lot more, because I think it's going to feel a little more like X than Pearl.
Yeah, I think so. I think last week what we talked about was that, I cannot remember the guy's name who made these movies, but he was talking about maybe doing another movie after Maxine, right?
Mm-hmm. That's the talk, that he's got an idea. I think it's, is it Ty West?
Ty West, he's got
an idea. Yeah, got an idea for a fourth. So that's the word.
Mum's the word, as they say. All right. Also, and very good news, the new Final Destination movie has begun filming and has an official title of Final Destination Bloodlines. The movie is set to release in 2025. Mm-hmm. You know, Dave and I both really like the Final Destination movies, and I think this would be, once this movie comes out, it'd be a good option, or a good opportunity, I should say, to rank the Final Destination movies. So you guys can expect that next year. I think that this will be good. I think it's time for them to come in and do another entry to this film franchise, especially with all of modern technology and everything that's new.
Yeah, I agree. And they did, when this information was put out there, they did put a note that they are fully aware that Bloodlines was used by Pet Sematary recently, the not so great movie that we reviewed. but apparently they've been using the name Bloodlines for several years as a working title for this. So they're going to stick with it for now. But there is a chance that the Bloodlines portion will change before the actual release. We'll see what happens there. But whatever case it may be, I'm excited about another Final Destination movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, a lot of times with these working titles, that's what they'll use for a little while, and then it ends up flip-flopping to something else. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, the Pet Sematary Bloodlines was straight to streaming, so I don't even know if it'll be that big a conflict for them to worry about, but we'll see what happens with it.
Absolutely. All right, moving on up, we have Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 is getting a limited theater release March 26th to 28th. No word on video on demand or streaming releases yet. I actually, weirdly enough, I remember last year, whenever the last one came out, we talked about potentially watching and reviewing it, but like nowhere had the movie near us. I actually checked AMC near me, and there is one of my AMCs is getting the second one at the end of the month as like a special screening type deal. So I may be able to watch it when it comes out.
Yeah, there's an AMC fairly close to me. That's within a half an hour. That's actually got this one. And there was like the last one, like you said, there was nothing even reasonably close to me. I am aiming to try to go see it. I really want to see it. So, I don't know what to figure it out. This is not a movie that Monica will want to go see with me, but I would love to go see it. So hopefully maybe we can make it work. And so we can give a quick review based on the theater and not have to wait for it to come to video on demand or streaming or anything.
Yeah, absolutely. But, we shall see. All right. So we only have one birthday this week, but, it is timely. Speaking of our conversation about Ty West and his films, March 9th, 1986, we have Brittany Snow from X and Prom Night fame. I believe Brittany Snow is also in Pitch Perfect, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So,
she's in the Pitch Perfect.
There you go. But, you know, we obviously liked X. She had a good part to play in X. She played Bobby Lynn. And, you know, and I know that she died in X, but, you know, it'd be interesting to see if they could do, like, some, like, flashbacks or, like, some, like, spectral entity in Maxine or something for her. That'd be cool.
Yeah, never know what's going to happen. She was enormously funny in the Pitch Perfect movies, though. I think she was the one that, what was it, vomited or puked or something? Or,
yep.
Yeah, so.
She was.
Those movies are pretty funny. So.
No, yeah, I thoroughly enjoy the Pitch Perfect movies. My wife actually was who showed them to me when we got together, because I'd never seen, I think I'd seen the first one maybe. But like she showed me the first two, and then we wouldn't watch the third one in theaters when it came out. But yeah, they're interesting. It's weird that they hold such a weird place in pop culture, because they have all these like very popular songs, but they also have like a huge cast of very famous people too, which is probably helps.
Yeah. Yeah, they cast very well for it. I love Anna Kendrick. I think she's hilarious.
Yep, Anna Kendrick.
She has that yeah. Anna Kendrick has that very matter of fact humor about her, right? Where it's just like it's not in your face, overtly blatant. You know what I mean? It's very I don't know what you would call it. Every man comedy. It's I like it. It's very subtle, but yet very funny.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Honestly, I'd love to see like Anna Kendrick in like a horror movie, but I don't know if she like just doesn't do horror movies or if that's just not like her jam, because I can't think of a horror movie she's ever been in.
I don't know either. Seems weird that, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, but you got to think, I don't know. But she kind of got her big thing through Twilight, so she didn't, I guess she, you know, since then she's probably had her kind of her pick of what she wanted to do. So, true. I don't know.
I guess
maybe.
Well, as I say, she was in Life After Beth, which is a horror comedy. So I don't know if that necessarily counts, but that is something.
I guess that's dipping the toe.
Right. That's dabbling, right? But in any case,
I want some full bore. Let's get her in something just overtly gory.
But what I was gonna say is, I feel like she'd be good like a good serial killer. Like, I feel like she could use, like, that very matter-of-fact comedy to, like, be, like, the ultimate twist at the end of a movie where it's, like, revealed that she's the killer or something like that.
You know, so, I'm telling you, the absolute, the funniest, nicest, best people always make the best villains.
Exactly. That's kind of what I was thinking. But, anywho, if anybody wants to take that idea, I'll pitch it to somebody famous. Just let me know.
Go for it.
Right. But upcoming movie anniversaries, we have a few here. March 9th, 1984, Children of the Corn. You know, Dave and I have talked about Stephen King, and we've talked about this movie as well. Children of the Corn is a very good movie. I quite enjoy it. I rewatch it occasionally. I think we talked about it not so long ago when there was that other Children of the Corn movie that got released that was just very poorly made.
Yeah. Yeah. Oof.
Yeah, exactly. But anywho,
I love the original. I really love the original Children of the Corn. There's like 50 million sequels, and none of them are just worth salt. But the first one's great.
No, yeah, absolutely. None of them are worth really even watching, honestly, other than the first one. But in any case, and actually, this next movie anniversary made me realize that I skipped something in the news. But March 9th, 2018, Strangers, Pray at Night was released. And then the news bit that I missed, and this is very timely, the new trailer for The Strangers, Chapter 1, has been released. Dave and I both watched this. It looks amazing. It does look very similar to the very first movie, but I think that may have been the intention. To make this movie very similar, and then to expand upon it even further in the next two films that are planned. But yeah, I love Strangers Pray at Night, and I'm very excited for The Strangers Chapter 1.
Me too. I mean, they kept, I think they may have altered the line a little, but they kept that creepy line at, you know, why are you doing this? And it's because you're here or whatever. That, that always wigged me out. But yeah, it had the same feel and vibe to me. It felt, you know, I don't know. I liked it. And I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, hopefully it's good. And hopefully then when it spins out into the next two, it really, you know, keeps it on. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I do. The Strangers is one of the creepiest damn films ever.
Yeah, absolutely. So very excited to see it get a new release and everything else. So moving on up, we have March 10th, 2023. We have Scream 6. This, of course, is celebrating its one-year anniversary this year. And, you know, we enjoyed the film, but it definitely was not living up to our expectations of where we thought the film was going to go. And we've talked at extreme lengths about the future of the franchise. So we'll leave it to say that we like the movie. We're happy to see that it's having its one-year anniversary. But we are not exactly happy with the direction in which the series is going.
No. I mean, the movie was, it was a little disappointing. It's a little flat for me. Again, the, I don't know, kind of the reveal in the end, it wasn't, it was a little flat. But, you know, I was hopeful. But, yeah, obviously there's a lot of chaos going on now. But, you know, I mean, Scream 7 apparently is not completely dead yet. And who knows what's going to happen. They're trying. They're trying to get people on board and salvage something. So who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? But it is the biggest roller coaster right now in movies, trying to keep up with what's happening with the Scream franchise.
Yeah, it's like a full-time job just trying to track what the hell is going on with Scream at this point. But moving on up to the next anniversary here, we have March 12, 2016. Again, a very timely conversation. Hush, celebrating its, what is that, 8th year anniversary. So we actually did a whole episode with a wise rebuttal about Hush and discussing that film, which is also a Mike Flanagan film. Mike Flanagan's a very prolific, I would say, director at this time in the horror field. So he's pretty good. but we definitely disagreed with our wives on whether or not this movie was good.
Yeah. You just mentioned this earlier and mentioned that, you know, hey, the wives rebuttal today was a little tame compared to that one. But yeah, I thought it was a fun movie. And yeah, the wives didn't agree. So
yeah,
whatever, what teach their own, I guess.
That's right. But and then moving on to March 13th, 1987, we have Evil Dead 2. Evil Deader. I'm just kidding. Evil Dead 2 is great. You know, Evil Deader would have been even a better name for the movie. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding, guys. we both like Evil Dead. We both like Evil Dead 2. And when we talked about Evil Dead Rise, we did talk about the other films. So, you know, we did go a little more in depth with that then. But yeah, Evil Dead 2 is great. It's funny. It's a worthy sequel, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really good. They summarize the first movie pretty quick and get on. And lots of people say that Evil Dead 2 is even the better film, right? Because it, you know, takes the first movie, summarizes it, and moves on. And they, you know, obviously they had a little more of a budget and everything else with it. So, but in their own way, shape, or form, I love them all. I love all the Evil Dead movies. They're just fun movies to me.
Yeah, absolutely. They all have their own positives and negatives. But like you said, the second one, it's got a very, very, I would say, very unique factor to it. I can never put my finger on it, but it's definitely memorable. But
yep.
And then the last anniversary is actually kind of timely as well, because just a couple weeks ago I talked about these films. But March 13th, 1981, The Howling. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, I can't remember, I for some reason decided to watch all of the Howling movies, which to some degree I deeply regret, but I did it anyways. So yeah, that was fun. But of course it's celebrating an anniversary. It came out in 81. So that means something, right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I like the first one. I think the first one's okay. And then it's just, ain't much after that one. But I think the first one's okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, like a lot of franchises, you know, you have one that's pretty good and it spawns sequels. They just try to milk that name and doesn't really work. But I mean, you're talking, you know, back in the day of straight to video, straight to DVD, and you know, if they can license that name and make a few bucks, that's what they were doing. So.
Oh yeah, and 100%, 90% of those movies were straight to DVD. I think the only ones that saw a theater release was like the first two, maybe. So take that with an extreme, very large grain of salt. Anywho, upcoming releases, starting off very strong, we have Satanic Hispanics coming to Shudder on March 8th. It is
name makes me chuckle every time.
Yeah, I'm just like, okay, let's see where this goes, I guess. Described as, when police break into a house in El Paso, they find it filled with dead Latinos and a lone survivor. Known as El Viajero, he is taken to the police station for questioning. I'll definitely check this out. I love anything on Shudder. The name definitely has me hooked, I think.
Yeah, it's like an anthology thing, I think. There's like five segments that all tie together. I'm sure maybe they each one probably is maybe about each one of the dead people, I'm suspecting. I haven't seen it yet, but
maybe
obviously because it's not out yet. But I'm hooked, man. I every time I read or hear that name, Satanic Hispanics, I don't know what it is. All I think is, why has no one done this yet? Why has no one used that title yet? Because it is so funny and catchy to me.
It's honestly, when I read it, I was thinking to myself, I was like, I have no idea what this movie could possibly be about. So I'll definitely watch it now. It hooked me. But all right. And the next one, which I'm very excited for, Imaginary, releases in theaters March 8th. It is described as a woman returns to her childhood home to discover that the imaginary friend she left behind is very real and very unhappy that she abandoned him. We'll be reviewing this next episode, so keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, this is one of the movies I think when we talked about upcoming movies for 2024 that I was super excited about. There's something about this concept, just really, I don't know, man. It sounds cool.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. I think it's got the right premise. The trailer, sometimes when I watch it, it kind of borders on either this is going to be really good or it's going to be really stupid. So I'm hoping it's on the former. It's on the really good side versus the really stupid. So we'll see.
But, I'm optimistic.
Same. Yeah, same. But I was optimistic about other movies, so I'm going to try and keep that optimism in check.
That's true.
But
true.
All right. We have one last release. We have Followers coming to Screenbox on March 12th. It is described as, a year after surviving a brutal attack, a social media influencer and her friends find themselves once again in the crosshairs of a dangerous and relentless dark web cult, thirsting for retribution and willing to stop at nothing to get it. You know, I think that the social media aspect of horror films is starting to expand a little bit, and I kind of enjoy it. I think it really hones in on a very niche subject, but it's very interesting. So I'll check it out. I'll check out anything on Screenbox.
Sure. Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, I'll watch it, no doubt.
There you go. All right, that pretty much does it for our news, birthdays, upcoming releases, and anniversaries. If you haven't yet, make sure you follow us on all social medias. You don't want to miss out on anything that we might have to say about anything. So we release all of these little updates when they happen, and we talk about these things on there, and we sometimes even do polls. So you don't want to miss that. So
No.
In any case, when we come back, we will have our official review of Amelia's Children. Stick around.
Listen to Their Screams is now a Fangoria collaborator. Get 20% off your order at shop.fangoria.com by using the promo code LISTEN2SCREAMS at checkout. That is LISTEN, the number 2, and SCREAMS. Or you can click the link in the show notes.
All right, and we're back here on Listen to Their Screams, and it is review time this time. It is Amelia's Children, which is available now, video on demand, written and directed by Gabriel Abrantes, starring Bridget Lundy Payne, Carlotto Cota, and Annabella Morera. I'm going to let you start on this movie. I always start. I always ramble too long. So we'll let you begin on Amelia's Children.
All right. So I will say this. We're going to start from, let's start with the cinematography. That's where we'll start. I think this movie had an exceptional cinematography and filming. That's not to say that the rest of the movie wasn't decent, but I really have to say that the B-roll and some of the background shots were really great. The cinematography is really nice. Everything was very clean. There was nothing about this, the filming of this movie that I thought wow, this is really shitty, or oh wow, this is makes no sense. Everything seemed very fluid, and I really wanted to point that out just because it was something that I really was like, wow, this is nice. Everything seems very cohesive. As for the movie itself, it was actually pretty decent. I will say that in terms of content, the bare bones explanation without giving you the full, everything. Basically, Edward takes a DNA test, finds out that he has family in Portugal, specifically a twin brother and his mother. He goes to Portugal and just weird shit ensues. He brings his girlfriend with him, and basically everything is not as it seems. His brother and his mother have very, very, very sketchy and very disturbing ulterior motives. This mm-hmm. film dabbles in a lot of different areas. But the best thing I could say is that this truly boils down to a very weird, witchy woo kind of storyline. Basically, the entire thing can be summarized that the mother is a witch who is trying to regain her youth. And I will not reveal how she tries to regain her youth. We'll probably talk about that in just a second. But overall, I thought the movie was good. It had some pretty decent scares, even very early on in the film. Basically very early on in the movie, they kind of make you believe that the main character, Edward, is either not all there. Maybe he has schizophrenia. He's having hallucinations. But it's not quite a hallucination. He's being called home, if you will. And his brother, again, is his twin, but he's very sketchy. And the story, it's very clean. I mean, there's not anything too terrible or crazy about it. It was very point A to point B. There was nothing that that was so glaring that I was like, wow, that's just shit. What the hell is going on there? I think the thing that this movie really did that topped it off for me, that made it just really made me say, what the fuck did I just watch? And I think Dave probably knows what I'm talking about, is the scene where the mom has sex with her son. That was the part where I was like, all right, this film took a step from being just spooky and scary into a whole just mind fuck. I was like, what in the actual hell is happening right now? This movie earned its R rating. That's for sure. This movie earned that R rating. It was supposed to be a shock factor. It was supposed to shake you and just be like, whoa, that just happened, didn't it? So that's sort of my review, is that great cinematography, great scenery, great locations for it. The house was really perfect. It was kind of eerie, but normal seeming at the same time. And, the family almost seems like a normal family, reconnecting with the lost loved one, but not all is as it seems. And that is 100% the story of this. Not all is as it seems. So I'll pass it over to Dave.
Yeah. I watched the trailer for it before, obviously before we saw it. I just had a gut feeling where they were going to go with this, because in the trailer they teased that call that they received from the DNA place or whatever it was. So I had this weird feeling, but it did not make it less disturbing and creepy. Number one, you're absolutely right. The cinematography was man. Their locations, their sets, whatever else there was, it was gorgeous. It was perfect for this. And the movie was kind of a slow burn for a bit, but it was definitely building that creep factor. And I feel like it was a slow burn because it really wanted to, at the same time, like you said, give you some doubt of what's going on with this guy. and also kind of making you feel a little sympathetic to this guy because he didn't know his family, right? He had no family. He didn't know anything about them. And here he was thrust into, oh, I have a twin brother and this is my mom. And it's hard to imagine what it would be like to be in that situation. And it's like it, some of the things that were, where they were trying to imply he was just so accepting of, and the girlfriend was like, why are you believing these people? Why are you trusting them? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, well, if you're in that position and you really wanted this for your whole life and here it is, it would be hard not to just dive in, you know, full bore into saying, you know, this is my family and I've always wanted this. From point A of showing the mother, it was creepy as hell.
Yeah.
And he knew it, right? He said something about, I think she's had a little too much work. Yeah, that was creepy. And you just really immediately got that vibe of there's something not exactly right with the relationship between the mom and the twin here. There's something going on. Number one, he was still calling her mommy. Number two, they showed the scene where he was like laying in bed with her. And then it's got to some of the dancing stuff and him saying that she was the, you know, most beautiful woman he's ever seen. You just felt like, yeah, is this inappropriate? It feels like there's inappropriateness going on here. And yes, there was, right? You found out, yep, there's a whole lot of stuff going on. The DNA place calls, which the girlfriend, you know, gets the call and said, hey, there's some inbreeding going on in this family. There's definite, you know, definite signs of this. And it's like, man, there are certain topics that when you touch on them, it is just, it's an instant just cringe, right? And this is one of them. And it just, no matter, and they didn't put it in there. It wasn't like one of those factors where they just threw it in there just to try to make you cringe, right? It fit the story. It's kind of the vibe you knew was coming. It's like they were building to it and it was just confirmed. And, but it was so creepy, but I just love how there was all this little teasing building up to it with the mom and how weird it was, right? Where she's talking to the girl about being in the U.S., the United States, but it felt like it was a long time ago the way she talked and some of this different stuff. And then it's like things were happening and the girlfriend was like, yeah, something's wrong here. I think we need to go. And then the mom was like, you know, why are you trying to destroy this? Why are you trying to take? So it was like building to this place of, okay, something's weird, but you feel for these people, right? Because there's something, the kid was taken. So you're almost like, it's like you're just made to feel a little bit sympathetic for them immediately. And then they start dropping one thing after another. It's like every time they talk, the mom and the brother were just somewhere listening. And it just was kind of creepy. It was a definite a slow burn on the creepiness. There wasn't a lot of, right, you know, super big jump moments, but it was just this. It built on that creepiness and uneasiness. And again, we've talked about it before. We just talked about it earlier, even in the Wise Rebuttal, right? There was a little bit of predictability of where they were going with this, but because of the way they built it, it's like in the back of your mind, you just want to say, nah, no, they're not going to do that. No, they won't do that. There'll be something else. Now they won't go there. And then it's like, oh, fuck, they went there. It's like, even though you just knew that's what they were going to do, that they were going to take this to an inbreeding and an inappropriate relationship with the mom and the sons, it didn't change the fact that when it got there, you were just like, ooh, oh my God, they did it. And it didn't make it less impactful because it's like, I don't know. I felt like I was conditioned to just that whole time just be hoping that there was a swerve because it's like, don't do that. And when they did it, it's like, ugh, okay, they did it.
Yeah.
And so that just that was what made it so unsettling and creepy building up to it, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's a really important thing, too, is that it was sort of underlying. It was implied. And then it was implied until it wasn't. And I think that is really what made it like. That's what made it as shocking as everything else is that they sort of implied things being weird, but most movies don't go there, right? They don't take it the full mile. They don't take it the full, you know, the full way. they just kind of like, yeah, it's kind of weird, but then they just kind of brush it off and go in a different direction. But I think the thing that this movie did very well is it went the full nine, you know, it made it as weird as possible, but it did it by doing it slowly. It was a slow burn. They made you imply it. They made you think it, but they're like, you think surely that's not the case. Surely it's something else. And then eventually you reach that ultimate conclusion. And you're like, well, that is fucked up. So I think the movie did that very well. I think that's a very positive slow burn, because sometimes slow burns can be good. Sometimes slow burns can be bad. But I think this is a situation where the slow burn and the way that they led up to it made it extremely good, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's the only way you can do it. I just don't, I don't think with the topic and the subject matter and what they were getting to, you just couldn't just bam, throw it in your face. It had to be a slow burn. It had to build that uneasiness and that feeling. That was the only way to do it. And through the whole thing, I really felt for the guy, the guy that was, you know, the kid that was kidnapped and discovered his family, because it's like, again, it's like you have to imagine, what would that be like, right? To not know your family and to not know, you know, why, and not to know who they are, and to feel so alone and not have anything, any kind of roots to refer back to at all. I mean, it's like, you know, even if people don't know, you know, much of their lineage, you know, at least you know your parents and your immediate family, at least, and maybe a little bit of extended. And this guy knew nothing, right? He didn't know anything. And it made him very sympathetic. And so it's almost like when he was getting drawn into this, it's while you're like, dude, don't do this, right? Don't. It says something's going on here. There's still a part of you that's like, I get it. Because it's like you're afraid. He's afraid that if he said anything, if he was, you know, just drawn to this ideal. And it's like he was blinded by the fact that, hey, this is my mom. This is my brother. I've always wanted this. And there can't be anything overt here. And obviously there was other factors at hand that was influencing him. But you really felt sympathetic for him, because he was struggling, trying to have this family that he wanted and still keep the balance with his girlfriend, who obviously knew something was going on. And he was, you know, still making excuses for her, right? When she left the one time and he told the brother, oh, she just, you know, wants to go out and you know, run around and sightsee and stuff, you know, kind of made an excuse for it. It's like he was trying to find a way to make it all work together. And, you know, you felt for him. He was very much a victim in this whole ordeal. But it was so creepy. And the mom just, she looked creepy, which was brilliant, because if she had looked just more normal, just a normal older lady, I think you would have felt more sympathetic, you know, a little more sympathetic, right? She's just this old lady. And I think what they did with her, and then again, I'm not knocking anybody who has any kind of cosmetic work done, or I'm not saying, right? It's their choice to do what they want with their body. It's not my place to judge if anybody has too much done. It's not my place to judge that, because everybody can do what they want. But, you know, it obviously kind of looked creepy, and there was clearly this point of her trying to keep her youth, and it made the whole thing a little more unsettling. And I don't think if they had, you know, if they hadn't included that, I think it would have taken a layer off of it, a layer of the creepiness. I really do. So,
yeah, no, absolutely. And one last thing to add to you, what you said, like you said, I think if the mom looked normal, I think that it probably would have been less creepy. But the fact that she looked the way she looked and that she talked the way she talked, I feel like that really added to just the very underlying, very like implicit, I guess you could say, just feeling that there's just something not right about her. And yeah, like you said, it's you do feel for Edward. You do feel for Ed. I think is what he said. Call me Ed. You do feel for Ed. You know, you do, because like you said, everything has led up to this moment in his life where he's like, I finally have biological family. I finally have people who, you know, I can say, you know, hey, like I can finally complete a family tree. You know. That kind of deal. And like you said, it's just, it makes it all the much worse when it comes crashing down in the way it did.
Yeah. And it, again, the cosmetic work and everything made more sense when you saw where things wound up.
Right.
You know, it made sense. But again, I, you know, sometimes, like you said, slow burn is, it's a weird line to walk. And sometimes it doesn't work. And I know a lot of times I say, hey, I would like a few more jump scares or a lot more of this. But I don't, there's no way to really tie it into the style of movie this was. And with the subject matter at hand, I think it had to be the slow burn that ultimately it led you to a point of not really a jump scare or this big, you know, this big aha moment per se. It was more of a final moment of confirmation that just really just made your gut knot. And that's what they had to do with the subject matter. And I don't know. I think they did it well. I think it was, you know, again, you know, it was it's a tricky subject matter that not a lot of people are ballsy enough to go with. And they did. And I think they did OK with it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it was a masterpiece. I don't think it was a, you know, a perfect movie, but it, you know, it was enjoyable. I don't know. And again, this is not a knock on the movie. I think it's just more of a more of an indication of the type of movie it is. I don't know that it's a high rewatch kind of movie.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I don't think it's at least not for me. And again, that's not a knock on it. That's just the it's just the subject matter and the way they approached it. It just it won't work quite the same way once you've seen it once. And it won't have the, I'm not saying the same enjoyability, it just won't have the same impact. So it's not one that I'd be starving to see again. So, all right. So let's rate this sucker out of 5 screams. Ike, what are you giving it?
You know, I think that this movie, I was thinking about this a lot because I feel like I give every movie the same rating, especially movies that like I feel like are good but like aren't like perfect, you know. So I feel like I always kind of go for the same, so I guess I'm gonna go for the same, you know, kill me if you want, but I'm gonna say 3.5 out of 5. The reason I said 3.5 is because it's like a middle of the road, you enjoyed it, it wasn't, you know, horrible, but it's just a middle of the road movie. But a 4 is like Terrifier 2. That's what we gave Terrifier 2. We gave Terrifier 2 and Skinamarink and so many great movies a 4. Evil Dead Rise. So it wasn't a 4, but I didn't think it was quite a 3. So I kind of met in the middle, so 3.5 out of 5, and I'm sticking with it.
All right, well there you go. I'm just giving it a 3 out of 5. Again, I thought it was fun. I think it was an impactful kind of movie to me, but because of the lack of rewatchability, I think it kind of lost a little tick for me. And again, it's not because it's a bad movie. It's just the way it is. It's just that type of movie. So I think that kind of impacted the funness, so to speak, for me. So I'm giving it just a 3. So a average of 3.25 for the two of us. Again, it's one of those movies that if you like horror, especially if you like creepy, kind of unsettling horror, it's a good one to watch. It's not the kind that's going to, you know, there's no blood, there's no slasher, there's no, you know, make you jump and piss your pants kind of shit. But it's that kind that's going to make your stomach just kind of just turn a little bit, right? And again, even if you anticipate where it's going, to me at least, it didn't make it any less impactful when it happened. So, you know, well done. I hope this comes, you know, it's like I said, it's video on demand right now. Hopefully it'll come to a streaming service pretty soon, which will open up the doors to, you know, for a lot more viewership. You know, because I know, you know, some people are not willing to commit to buy a film as much as they are to, you know, obviously watch it on a streaming service they are subscribed to. But I see this thing getting picked up by something probably in the near future. And I hope so, because, you know, I hope it's out there and gets that potential audience that could provide for it. So,
yeah.
But once again, well done. I don't think it's one of those that's going to crack our top 5 for the year when it all is said and done. You know, a pretty solid entry into the year, especially considering if you look at it, man, we've been kind of disappointed with a few of the movies that we thought were going to be pretty decent so far this year. It's kind of let us down. We talked about Night Swim earlier and stuff. And this one, it's like, we didn't know what to expect. And it was, I don't know, pretty solid. So, hallelujah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just glad. Here's my thing. I'm just glad that Screambox had another good hit, because right now Screambox is outperforming Shudder this year, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, when we talk about top five movies, and we talked about top five most anticipated movies for the year, next week, next episode, we are going to be reviewing Imaginary. Again, this movie, I hope it does not let me down, but for whatever reason, this movie has my intrigue hooked so badly. I love this concept of an imaginary friend that is real and is pissed off because you left it. This concept to me is just, I love it. I love it, and I'm hoping I'm disappointed. It's getting a full theatrical release. That's good. Yeah. So that's a very promising thing. I'm excited to go to a theater and see this movie. This movie is actually intriguing enough that Monica, I think, is going to go see it with me, or at least she wants to. She saw the trailer and said, "Huh, that looks pretty decent." So that's I'm not saying that means anything, but obviously Monica and I sometimes have differing opinions on some of this stuff. And if both of us have our interest peaked, yeah, that's a pretty good sign. So this is one of the movies, for whatever reason, I've just been really looking forward to for this year, and I'm excited to see it and review it next week, Ike.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very excited to see it. I know my wife is very excited to see it. Kayla's super excited to watch it. This was actually on her short list of top five, because when we did our top five, she made up her own like mock top five as well. And this was on her short list as well. She's super stoked for this, and so she'll be going to watch with me. So yeah, it'll be good. I have high hopes for Imaginary. And like you said, it's just a very unique concept. I can't really think of any other films that have really done anything exactly like this. There's been some nods to like quote unquote imaginary friends, but maybe not in the same way this has. But yeah, I'm pumped. Kayla's pumped. I think we're all pumped, which is a good sign, right?
Absolutely. Let's hope. But again, yeah, it's a fun concept. I'm looking forward to it. But that review will be coming next episode. So I'm super stoked for that. But until we get then, Ike, this has kind of been a long episode, which the Wives Rebuttal episodes typically are. but before we close this out, anything you want to add?
Honestly, I don't have a whole lot this week. I think we got it all out in the, like you said, the super long episode. But what I will say is, try out Mellow Yellow Zero if you haven't yet, or if you don't like zero drinks, just drink Mellow Yellow. That's my endorsement here. Yellow. If Coke wants to endorse us, hey, I'm all for it.
I'm a Coke guy. I like Coke Zero. Coke Zero is by far the superior of soda for me. That is my go-to drink. And I know there's going to be a lot of people that would burn me at the stake for this, but I have always preferred Mellow Yellow over Mountain Dew. And
same.
I always have. And I've always been a fan of the Mellow Yellow Zero. But to me, the go-to Coke Zero is my go-to. Besides, I like sweet tea. I'm a sweet tea guy, but I try to keep that in moderation because of the sugar. But my go-to soda is always Coke Zero.
See, another Coke product that I prefer than another product is I prefer Mr. Pibb to Dr. Pepper, and because they're very similar in some ways, but Mr. Pibb's, in my opinion, is better than Dr. P.
Yeah, yeah. I always like Mr. Pibb, but I haven't had one of those in forever. Or Dr. Pepper. I've just neither. I just don't. I haven't drank either of those in a while. But I always like Mr. Pibb, but I don't know what is Sunkist? Is Sunkist kind of their own thing? Is that part of the 7-Up RC Cola family and stuff?
Sunkist and A&W and like RC, they're all kind of the same thing as 7-Up and all that good jazz.
Yeah, I do like me some Sunkist. So
fun fact, I used to work for 7-Up, so I used to drink a lot of Sunkist and RC Cola.
Sunkist was one of my jams when I was a kid. I loved a Sunkist. Of course, back when I was a kid, they were in glass bottles, and there's nothing like drinking a soda out of an ice cold glass bottle. Ooh, true. Good shit. And Gatorade. Gatorade was made to be in glass bottles.
Gatorade.
The fact that they ever, Gatorade should have always been in glass bottles. That was the best. But I digress. Yeah, Mellow Yellow Zero is good shit. I do enjoy that. Coke Zero, I do enjoy, especially with a little crown or Jack in it or something. Very good. It is what, a Jack and Coke, that's what they call it. It's a Lemmy. A nod to one of my heroes, Lemmy from Motorhead. Man, yeah. That is good. I do like, have you ever, they are pre-mixed. There are pre-mixed cans, Coke Zero and Jack, and Coke and Jack available now. Those are good shit.
I have seen those, but I've not tried them yet. I'll have to give them a try sometime.
They're good. They're good. I like them. The Coke Zero and Jack's good shit. I like it. So, yeah, we have ventured off the path here. So
it happens.
So, all right, let's close this sucker out. Thank you to the wives for coming on and doing the rebuttal, I suppose, even though I'm going to have to go take a couple of ibuprofen for the headache. but the scotch has helped. But get me through. No, I kid. Thank you for coming on and voicing their opinions. It's always fun to banter and discuss it with them. And it's always a good time, and the listeners seem to enjoy it. So I guess in closing, go watch Abelia's Children. No matter what the wives say, go watch Here's for Blood. And when it releases this weekend on theaters, go see Imaginary. So whatever it is, just go support horror, especially if it's in theaters. Go support it. That's right. So until next week, when we will be reviewing the aforementioned Imaginary, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.